And we have a reading for our young people, taken from Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 4.
Isaiah 43, 1 to 4. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Saba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life.
Let me tell you, young people, old people, middle-aged people, God will fight for you. God will fight for you. You need to know that. You need to understand that. He's fighting on your behalf. And I just love the bit where he says, he will move people out in order that you can take up residency in the land. The land might be your job. You know, you're looking for a job. God can move someone out and put you in it. No need to worry. God can move people out of somewhere where, you know, you're thinking, where am I going to live? He can fight for you. He can provide food for you, crops in your land. You just don't know what God can do for you, but I do. I know because I've lived it and I've experienced it. And so it is God who has you in the palm of his hand. So I just want to leave our young people with that text, and we'll put that in the chat as well, so that you can reflect and meditate on it for yourself. Personalize it. If I show you my Bible, I put the date. That section where it says, I love you, I circle my name there, you know, in red ink. Do what you need to do with your Bible so that, you know that God is speaking directly to you. All right? So, I just want to say at this point, Winston will now read verses 5 and 6. Now, this section here is for, listen, that's for the me, the Wilmers, the Angelus. The 5 and 6 is powerful. And straight after 5 and 6, we will hear Basil.
Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather them from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth.
Good evening, everyone. I'm about to present God's promise for the family. So I'll ask the question, what is a promise? I have 5 points. But the first thing I would say about a promise is that it is important. A promise is very important. And you'll ask the question, why? Because you're looking forward to whatever have been said from that promise. Two, it's a word that should command response from he or she who gives their word. In other words, it's a bond of character. It's a bond of character. And three, it's a declaration or assurance that one will do something of that particular thing that will happen. It's a declaration or assurance that will happen. Fourthly, it's a commitment to be responsible, to be acted upon that which have been said, a commitment from a promise. Fifth and finally, promise give birth to hope. Therefore, hope is the fulfillment of the promise. Now, in the book of Genesis, a promise had been made by God about his family. And that's us. We are God's family. When you go through the book of Genesis, you'll see that the people in those era had actually strayed pretty far from the Lord. However, in Genesis 7, the record shows that God found someone who was righteous, and that was Noah. And so the Lord said to Noah, look, you need to build an ark to get ready because a flood is coming. Look after your family. He says to build an ark, that's in today's language would be one of those big cruise liners, you know, those ships that you go off in for holidays. So it was a serious thing that was happening. So the Lord said, look, you need to get ready, prepare. As history shows, after the flood, God made another promise. But this promise was to Noah and the families of the earth. He said, I would make a covenant with you that there would not be a flood anymore. And my covenant would be the sign of a rainbow. And that's why nowadays, even when you see it rained or after it rained, a rainbow is presented. So God kept his promise. He kept his promise for his family, his earthly family. And I think I'll just turn to Genesis 9:14. Remember this text, Genesis 9:14. Now, this is God keeping his promise. I need to read it so that you can look to it for yourself. It says, verse 14 said, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And 15 says, and I remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And verse 17 says, and God said unto Noah, this is a token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. So God has kept his promise. Promise is extremely important. As we read on again in the book of Genesis, God also made a promise to another person whose name was Abraham. Abraham had this wonderful relationship with God, that their relationship was very, very close. But during the years of Abraham walking with the Lord, he was concerned. Abraham was concerned that after his death, there would not be any seed to carry out after he died. And then in Genesis 15, God says to Abraham, he says, come with me, Abraham. Can you count the stars in the sky? And the Lord says to him, that's how your seed's going to be, like the stars in the sky. And here's the thing. When you look down from the record of the genealogy of Abraham from Jesse going on to David, this was the fulfillment of the birth of Christ. So God again has kept his promise. Jesus came, dwelt amongst us, so that we can experience his light. So God has kept his promise. He's kept his promise for Noah, for Abraham, for you, and for me. And guess what? Jesus also has made a promise. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. Jesus never breaks his promise. God never breaks his promise. He has left many landmarks that have been fulfilled and are still fulfilling. Many signs have been fulfilled. He's almost at the door. Let us not miss the entrance, because he kept his promise. And as I give you those examples, you may say, well, why is it important to keep a promise? 3 points. God always keeps his promise. We too should always keep our promise. Another point is, God said he would never leave us nor forsake us. He would always be there for us. And thirdly and lastly, he told us in Galatians 3:14, I think we should look at this and read it when you can. He told us that the blessings of Abraham will come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the blessings of Abraham's are upon us. To this day, from now right on to where we are now, God has kept his promise and are still keeping his promise. You know, promise is, making a promise is a very, very important thing. Many people today, as you well know, get to the marriage altar and they make many, many promises. But sorry to say, some are broken. Some are broken. I'm going to say that I particularly made a promise to my family within myself when I went to the altar. And I said, regardless of how difficult my life will be, my marriage will be, I would love my wife even through the bitterness of the ups and downs that life may throw at me. And I'll do my best to look after my family. I've kept my promise and will continue to do so, because God keeps his promise and we should keep our promise. Promise is very, very important. Could you imagine if the Lord did not keep his promise? Where would we be? So if we keep our promise to be in that situation with our family, with our friends, with our young people, we need to honor it, because it's part of what God wants us to do, to keep our promise. I know many of you at this moment may even have a promise for your family or for someone in the family. So I think it's probably about now the right time to probably ask if anyone who is in the congregation has a promise that they want to give and keep to the family. This is an important thing in terms of where we move forward towards a relationship with God, or relationship with our neighborhood, or relationship with our young people. Is there any promise you can bring? Is there anyone in the congregation have a promise that they want to share with their family? Is there anybody there?
Don't be shy.
Okay. I'll have to call. Okay. Can I just say something just before you? So just to give everyone a chance to give their promise, please make it as short as possible, just to give everybody else a turn. Thank you very much. Okay, Angie.
Oh, I've got Joshua 24, I think it's 24:15, that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the other one is Isaiah 54:17, that says, no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that has risen against us in judgment, God will condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Is there anyone else?
I want to do my promise, but I want to look at it from the same Isaiah 15:14, which it says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. But I like to read those promises, but I like to also say what they really mean. Because sometimes we read them and we say, yeah, that is it. Like I say, I'm the promise. Christ has promised me that I can do all things through him who strengthened me. And for me and my family, which is somewhere downstairs, at the moment, my family, I'm just saying to the Lord, I promise him that I will do my best to honor and to respect his word, his name, and respect my family as best as I can. With whatever comes toward me, whether it's COVID or any other circumstances, I will try my best to honor him and honor my family, which means treat them with utmost respect and make sure not to put them in any situation that would leave them vulnerable if I can do anything to prevent that. You know, and I'm saying at the same time, the next promise I'd like to do is to say, through his strength, I will also be strong for my family.
Thank you.
That means I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So as he gives me the strength and he strengthens me, I want to say to my family, I will try and be strong for them in every way I can.
Just a quick one I'd like to add. Brother Baz, it's in terms of, you said, commitment. You know, for me, the commitment, as you rightly said, Baz, about family, that my thing I've always felt that the commitment is about through thick and thin, you know, a family, you know, you stick together, you have your differences, your opinion, you speak your mind, well, I like to think I do, and, you know, deal with it and sort it out. And sometimes speaking on minds, sometimes it can be offensive to other people, but I believe deeply that even if it offends you, I prefer to offend you, not in a deliberate, nasty way, trying, that's what I'm saying, but just be honest with what's inside here, and then we can actually talk about it after, if it's such a pain. But I believe, and it's a commitment I've made to myself, in that honesty is the best policy regardless. And that's my mother's drummed into me as a child. You know, he will speak the truth, what? Speak it, cost it what it may. He will speak the truth. I can't remember the whole thing, but that is something that's in my mind. And as I said, it's about family commitment.
The truth, in terms speak of it ever
cost it what it may. Thank you. It's a long time now since I've heard that, but it's still there. So for me, truth is paramount. Doesn't mean I'm not saying that I have never said that is not truthful, but I'm talking about being honest with individuals and in my relationship with my family, and they know it, and with friends who are willing to hear, will recognize that. And you talk about character, Basil. That is part which I feel very strongly about. Commitment to family, commitment to friends, but number one, commitment to myself, because if I'm not happy here, you're going to know it. So I prefer to be honest. And then, you know, and I've always said that God is honest with us, even if it hurts. God is always honest. He tells us exactly what he expects, what he doesn't expect. So I believe firmly in honesty. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Sister Alison. Commitment is very important. And honoring your promise is very, very important in our lives. It's a bond of character. No one has another promise to share with your family? encourage. Is there a young person there? Can I invite a young person? Is that a possibility? Or you can put your promise in the chat if you want to do that.
Okay, while you're thinking, can I just read Psalm 103, verse 8 to 13? Because, you know, sometimes, and you find when you speak to people or you're witnessing to people, they think that their sins are so bad that there's no way God, you know, no way they can find their selves back. And even young people, you know, it's not just an age thing, but most people think that way. So let me read Psalm 103 in regards to God's promises and covenants. And this is the Psalm of David, verse 8 to 13 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our sins. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our sins from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion and mercy on those who fear him."
Amen. I'm just going to give the opportunity to a young person if they wish to. And then if you wish to, please put your promises in the chat. As time is going, unfortunately. We're having such a lovely time, though. But please put your promises for your family in the chat. Okay. Lovely. If we have no young persons that wish to share their promise, that's okay. You will develop your own promise in time to come. And so, you know, God will share his covenant with you, what he has for you, and that will become your promise. So, I thank Baz for that beautiful reading on promises and really solidifying in our hearts and minds to keep hold of God's promise in our heart. And at this time, I just want to say it is coming to a close. And I just really want to say thank you for participating. And my biggest thanks goes to our young people. And I salute them. They could be anywhere else this evening, but they have chosen to be here with us, praying with us, sharing their prayer life, their intimate prayer life, and what it means for them. And it is truly an honor. And, you know, even our speaker, who unfortunately had to go, but he has said that this is something that he really flavored, enjoyed. And I just really want to thank him also for being with us. So at this point, we will listen to our final song for the evening, and then we will have our closing prayer. Okay.
taught the sun where to stand in the morning, and who told the ocean you can only come this far, and who showed the moon where to hide till evening.
Just appreciate and thanks for this session. I found it very inspiring, very interesting, very uplifting. There's so much things that I would like to say, but obviously haven't got time. But I just want to thank the Ingress coordinators to make this possible in the topic of children and youth and prior services for them, because this really is needed. I'd like to just quickly start off by just recapping by saying, when Lorraine did that chauffeur, back on the trumpet calling, it just put me in the mind and just imagined that I was so powerful. I'm thinking, can you imagine? And he came out later on about if Lorraine said it, if Stokey, if all the members was to come back, the young people, Stokey couldn't hold them, even in New Building. And I'm thinking, just imagine that trumpet blowing and those young people marching back into Stokey, how powerful and wonderful that would be. That was very, very powerful for me. The second thing, the song that Kathy chose, Forgetfulness, and To the Bottom of the Sea, that those words quite inspired, and I really enjoyed that. Thank you for that. The next person that spoke was Ita On, and she spoke about her relationship with her children in terms of prayer. And it just goes to show, I was speaking to somebody yesterday saying that children are like sponge, in particular that age group. What they hear, they take in more what they see, sometimes what they actually hear. So it's very important. But the experience she gave for children, their faith and how those kids believe, although she know otherwise, but their faith is so simple and so pure that they believe. And the wonderful thing is that God answered their prayers. And he's as small as they are. They know the circumstances surrounding why daddy was back. But daddy was back. And as far as they're concerned, it's based on their prayer. And probably too, it was. But it just goes to show if children that age can begin to develop that sort of a faith, can imagine when they get older, if it's nourished, how powerful that would be. And she even spoke about not just talking about using the everyday things they can relate to, the practical things, food on the table. It is God that allows that food to be there. You know, simple things that she spoke about, which I thought was so important for her and her children, and that a wonderful experience. Then Bev went on to talk about the other age group, and she also touched on the prayer, the innocence of children. I mean, when they pray, it is such an innocent thing because they believe. Sometimes we pray, and if we're honest, we believe, but do we really believe? Because sometimes we pray about, and so it depends on the circumstances we are in. It depends on the situation we are facing, how believable or powerful our prayer is. But it shouldn't be because of the circumstances. The prayer should be always powerful in believing that what we ask for, it will be achieved according to God's will. So I thank Beth for that. In that, you know, since adult children, when they grow to learn, to hear, to see, and to practice, as they become older, as you said, you pray for the blessing of God to be upon your children and your grandchildren. The next session that went into when Pat spoke with young people speak, and I feel it's important to talk about the young people because it's really about them. And I feel a lot of the time I was going to recap on, because they really made an impact on me this evening, particularly some of them I grew up when I was already gone. They're not big adults themselves. And, you know, Monifa experience, it is such, I mean, she talked about three main things, like the weapon, the power of prayer. You know, it's a peace to her. You know, speaking to God is opening up. It's a protection. And Christ is standing at the door, she said. He's knocking. But if she's not open, he ain't going to come in. So through our prior experiences, Monifa speak, and you could see how genuine her experience is in terms of relationship. And nothing speaks more powerful than what you know and what you experience. But nobody can take it away from you. And she spoke also about her examples of her parents. And when she was speaking, all I was nodding and saying, yes, you have a powerful mother who's a prayer warrior. She spoke of her mother, what she see her mother have done. She learned from that. Although sometimes you think, oh, children are not listening. But as time goes on, and when they're facing a certain situation, then they recall on that. And I'm sure all of us as now adults and grandparents in our own lives, or parents may still do things with thinking, oh, well, what are they talking about? But as we get older, we can see the benefit of that. And Monifa speak very beautiful and powerful about that this evening. And she talks about going to partnership with God. And as she grows and develops her prayer life, she found it much more comforting and reassuring. Matthew also prayed over even about, you know, his prayer. It's an ongoing thing, daily thing. And his prayer is not always answered. And it's not always, he spoke about his friend and family who also pray for him and also protection to keep him. And we talk about his blessings, his daily routine. And, you know, it's about him having to come to the recognition that he needs to build a relationship with Jesus Christ. So our young people are listening, although we don't always think that. Ramel, his prior experiences, you know, he defined it in communication, partly what Monifa was saying, he defined prior communication with God. He also sees the weapon, which is uses AM and PM. It's not just one of. And, you know, pray for how the day to go, and that is quite a, should be a normal routine of any Christian daily walk. He talks about family members as well, the prior grandparents, the prior of his mother, his father, you know, and we know who knows the family, that they're powerful praying people. His grandmother was as well. He wants also, he talk about thanking God, you know, he thank him for what he has done and what is to be done. And he says sometimes he takes his burden to Jesus Christ. And to me, that is quite important. A young man is actually identifying those a principle. He also talks about, he feel like when he, you know, sometimes we leave a voicemail, right? And the person doesn't always get back to us. It depends what's happening. You know, he spoke about the voicemail. But at the same time, we know God always come back. And I talk about that, God will come back. And he says the prayer is not always consistent. Here he's talking about honesty. It's not always consistent. You know, so I think we ought to give God thanks to the young people and what they've actually said tonight. Quickly to go on to the sermon, the sermonette. I mean, a lot more things I haven't actually touched on, because I think the young people is my focus, and that's what I want to really maintain thing. Fabian, and we know Fabian is a baby, came to Stokey. We know his history. And he spoke, so for him, the few points was profound to him, the loss of his friend and the impact that had on him and his personal relationship. He spoke about he walked away from Christ, and many of us can identify to that. At some point in our lives. Yeah, I know I can. But he said how that was profound to him. First, the same age. Death has no age barrier. We know that. Sickness has no age barrier. But sometimes when these things happen to our mates or our same or peers, it makes us... I never thought about death when I was in my 20s and 30s, really. I think about it now a lot. Yeah, because it's a reality. But I think when... But I think when you are that young, you think you're invincible. Don't you? But I think today young people realize that no, we are not. Yeah. And so Fabian spoke about that, and he said about they talk about impact of the COVID, which we know how it people to behave, etc. But the other thing that really was a life changing thing in his life, it had to take his daughter, his child. Seeing his child being baptized, the impact that had on him. Okay, I'll leave that. But you get the point, right? Where we're going. And of course, Naomi. Sorry. Did I speak about Naomi? No, I missed Naomi. Oh, I'm sorry. Naomi, of course. Sorry, Naomi. Thank you. Naomi stopped the conversation between different times, different things going on in her life. You know, it takes prayer. She takes it quite serious. She's the protection, and not just asking, but also blessing her daily life. You know, and she also talked about how what she can recall her parent pray for her, that she's not a follower, but she becomes a leader. So all these little things that we tell our kids and we talk to our kids, they may not give the impression that they're hearing or they want to hear it, but they are testifying to it now. So that was profound to Naomi. And Brother Baz, of course, spoke about, you know, the points of the importance of family. The bond of contract. It's assurance of things to happen. It's a commitment. It's a responsibility. The promise of hope to give hope. And basically, he gave some, and he also said why the importance of the promise, why it's important, and looking forward to that. He also gave some Bible character, which is based on Noah and Abraham, in about promises that God keeping, and Christ keep his promise with us. You know, this world was done away by flood. He promised it'll never happen again, and he gave us the rainbow. And we see that rainbow, and every time I see that rainbow, wherever I am, just like many of us, it come back to me that he will never destroy this world again with water. It will be fire. So those are some of the promises. And I just want to say before, when I did my notes long before Lorraine said the thing, he said expectancy, thanksgiving. And I'm saying to young people and girls, what is your expectation from God? And some of it has been answered. That God ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not ours. His time is not ours. A year to us is like a day in the sight of God, in his calculation. So what is a long time for us? It's only a matter of hours or days for Jesus Christ. I remember many years ago, I'm going to say quickly, when we were at Stokey, Pastor Blake was at Stokey, and we're going out in, I can't remember where we're going. But I remember we were sitting together and someone else was working out the same thing about, couldn't understand how a day in the sight of Christ could be like a year. But we worked it out. And when it worked out, I was like, Bakan was 17, 18, whatever it was. You just cannot, I cannot compute, try and understand Christ's time in our time. So, you know, we have to recognize that Christ's time is not our time. Thanksgiving is believing. We pray in faith. And when we pray, it is things we cannot see what we hope for. Our faith is in his words. And his answer, once we ask him sincerely, he promised he will answer according to his will, not our will. And I must remember, you know, sometime when Christ answers, it's least expected, but as we say, it's right on time. And giving, thanking him in advance for whatever we ask him for, ask him for prayer, and for young people to recognize that. And I hear it come out tonight. They believe and they're praying, but it's just to encourage them to keep on keeping on. Because there are times in our lives when we feel very discouraged, can't be bothered, you just want to give up, you keep going over and over like nothing's happening, but something's happening. So I'm encouraging them to keep on keeping on. And that redeeming love, that is the topic, redeeming love. We sometimes mess up as adults and young people. And sometimes we mess up so badly that you look back and you think, really? Did I do that? Why? But somehow we moved on. But that love of Jesus Christ is forever. It's like, neither height, depth, or width can separate us from the love of God. And young people, it doesn't matter what you do. The only way you're gonna separate from Christ, you have to decline. You have to keep pulling back. And at the same time, Jesus does not take his grasp from you. You will pull away from Jesus Christ and lose that grip from him. Love is powerful. It's a powerful force. And we as human beings can testify to that in relationships, whether it's friends, partners, whoever. Love is a powerful force. And it is nothing compared to the love of Jesus Christ. And why I say that? It can cause us to do silly things sometimes. It can cause us to do silly things sometimes. But Jesus, redeeming love, never make a mistake. It endures all. Forgiving, calling us again and again. Remember the story of Hosea, where he was directed by God to marry the promiscuous woman, Gomer. I mean, that story will represent Jesus and Israel and Jesus Christ. And it represents us, God and sinners. Gomer going into many different relationships. Of course, Hosea was hurt. He was pained. Can you imagine your husband or your wife or your boyfriend going for somebody else and you're still taking them back? Hey, hallelujah. It's only the power of God can let you do that. Only power. And that's the difference in Jesus Christ, because we continue to do sin, committing, doing different things day in, day out. And that redeeming love is still there. So it's about young people and ourselves. You know, the main difference, I won't even talk about that, but I'll leave that and move on quickly to the end. But the redeeming love is giving us, Christ's redeeming love is giving us a chance to go to God. Ask whatever you need, your weaknesses, believe in his words, wait, give thanks while waiting, because his love time is not like ours. We can only see what is in front or behind the wall of us, not around the corner. Jesus is eternal to the end of all our life. Trust him, believe in his word. God will come through for us. Amen.
Amen. Thank Amen. You very much for that Amen. Beautiful summary, Hyacinth. And we are offering up our prayers with expectancy from God that he will hear and answer. And when we're expecting God to do something, we always give thanks. So let us give thanks and praise. Sanjo.
Before I pray, I just want to say there's a song that comes to mind that I think is quite important for us to think about as we move forward. It says, in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the firmest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ, I stand. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry, the final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. And this evening, we are standing in the gap for our young people and our children. We're standing on God's promises. And so we come boldly through the throne of grace. Dear Jesus, we come to you. We present our people, our young children, our young people to you. Lord, they presented themselves to you this evening. They laid themselves bare. They were vulnerable. They expressed themselves to you. You have heard them, and you're standing with them. You're not letting them go. They're standing in you. They're walking with you. And Lord, you are walking before them. You're walking behind them. You're walking beside them, and you're covering them. And we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you will never let them go. We thank you that you are with them to the end. Lord, we ask that you continue to allow them to know that you are with them through thick and thin, and that there is nothing that will separate you from them, nothing that will pluck them from your hand, because you have plucked them from Satan's grasp. Lord, we thank you for the love that you show to them. We thank you for those who continue to stand in the gap. We thank you for those who continue to petition the throne of grace on their behalf. And Lord, we know that their eyes are opened. We know that they understand the power of communicating with you, of talking with you about everything, of presenting to you their trials and their troubles, their praises and their thanks and their requests. And Lord, we ask that you just continue to hold them in the palm of your hand. Dear Jesus, we thank you for how you have allowed them to talk about their relationship with you. We thank you, dear Lord, that they have been able to find role models. We thank you, dear Lord, that they know that they can call upon you at any time and that you will answer them. And we thank you, Lord, that they are growing in their relationship with you. But we thank you more that they know that you love them with an everlasting love. We thank you, Lord, that they know that their sins are thrown to the bottom of the sea and that you suffer from dementia when it comes to their sins. Lord, I ask that you continue to allow them to open their eyes and their minds and accept you so that you can live in them. Lord, we thank you that you're not slack concerning your promises, and therefore they can stand on your promises. Lord, we thank you that they can call you Father and understand the relationship that you want to have with them, the protection that you give them. Dear Jesus, we thank you that you have high ideals for them. Their minds cannot comprehend it, but once they commit themselves to the relationship, you open doors that no man can shut, and you close doors that need to be closed. Lord, we thank you that they continue to rise. We thank you that they continue, that they are able to continue to say, praise him, Jesus, my blessed Redeemer. We thank you, Lord, that they recognize that you have bought them back and that you are restoring them to your full image. Father God, we thank you for the outpouring of love for our young people. And Lord, we want them to know that it is not just to tick a box or to say it, but that we love them. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to show them in ways that they fully understand. We ask you, Lord, to help us so that our love will draw them back into the fold of safety. Lord, we call ourselves a family. Help us to continue to love them as a family. Help us to continue to pull them towards us. And in pulling them towards us, we are pulling them towards you because you are living in us. We thank you for those who organize this program, dear Lord. We thank you that we don't think only of ourselves, but we think of others. Father God, we love you. And we thank you that your ears are not stopped up and your hands are not short. We thank you, Lord, that wherever we are, you meet us there and take us to where you want us to go. Father, we petition the throne of grace on the behalf of everybody who has a problem at this point. You know everybody whose head is bowed here. Father, we ask you to touch everybody's mind and body. Remove sin and worry, discontent, evil thoughts. Wash us clean and make us whole, Father. We can do nothing of ourselves, but through you, all things are possible. There is nothing hard for you to do. And so, Lord, we present the young people and the children of Stoke Newington, those who were, those who are, and those who are going to return. Father, help us to be ready to receive them with open arms and with love. Father God, help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to read our Bibles and pray every day. Help us to grow in you and help us to allow those who know, help us to live the life in such a way that others will be drawn. The young people will be drawn. They'll see how much your word is sweet and how it allows us to be different and how it allows us to be true and real. Help us to be authentic. Help us to live intentional lives of glory and love and peace and true unity. Father, we thank you for this evening. Such a powerful experience of relationship with you. May it not just stop tonight. May we continue to pray on behalf of our young people. Help us to pray that our lives will be true representatives of yours. And may we be able to say, lo, this is our God when you come. We have waited for him. Lord, help us all to be ready to go home with you. May all those that we are praying for and we have spoken on behalf of tonight be ready to go home with you when you come to claim us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.